So yesterday we finished Shmos, Parshas Pekudei. So there's a the first thing that strikes us is that apparently the pasuk says Vayibachodesh Arishon Asishishi Vayibachodesh Arishon Bashana Ashenis Becha Vachodesh. So the pasuk says who come on Mishkan. So Hukam HaMishkan, it doesn't say Hekim Es HaMishkan, it says Hukam HaMishkan. So it means that the Mishkan somehow or other was set up. So Rashi says, so Rashi before in V says, Vayivas HaMishkan El Moshe Se'ov, it's called Kelov, Cross of Krusher, Brich Vamud Vadonav. So Rashi Shaloi Hayu Yecholun Lakimov. So the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to put up the Mishkan. So what happened was that God told Moshe. He said, "You appear as if you're trying to set it up, and it'll get set up by itself automatically." And that's what the pasuk says. Who come on Mishkan? The Mishkan was set up. Hukam me'elav. All right, that's what Rashi says. I mean, it's based on the grammar of the pasuk. Yeah. So what do you see from this? From this, you see, and from the whole parsha, really, you see that it was that everything had to be done dafka al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it means. Everything had to be done dafka al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why it says, "Vayaviwas haMishkan al Moshe, so all of us called Caleb." He was the one that had to set it up. Okay. Excuse me. The first time had to be Aldi Moshe. Not only did he have to set it up the first time, but he had to do the avoda also. It was necessary for him to be mishamish and to do all the avoda, because the pasuk says. But this is no machlokes. Moshe Rabbeinu did the avoda. That's how the Gemara says. But meshimesh Moshe shivus mei melun. So he was meshamesh till the yom hashmini. V'yev yom hashmini. But the shivus mei melun for 7 days. Moshe Rabbeinu was meshamesh. The pasuk basically. V'nasatos ve'veisos ha'shulchan. V'nasatos mizbach hazor. V'nasatos. It's all v'nasatos ha'kiyar. Moshe Rabbeinu had to do everything. V'santos ha'chotzos aviv. Everything was v'lakachto. It's a yachid. Lashin yachid. All to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to do everything, basically. And he did the avoda too. He did the kraftas, armas, bonov, okay. He had to do all the avoda, and he did the avoda in Shivisi Me'em Eluim. He said in Vayalas, Vayitin as a Shulchan Bo Moed, Vayarach Olaverach Lechum Fnei Hashem, Vayosem as a Menorobo, Vayal Haneros, Vayosem as Mizbach Hazov, Vayaktol of Kitar Asam, and so Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a psukim, plain shot. Okay, the whole, everything. Straight through. Vayosem es masach haPesach, Vayosem es haKiyor, every Vayokem es haChotzer, Soviv, all means is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's it. Okay, so he did everything. That's the Pesukim, plain shot in the Pesukim without any midrash or anything. Okay. Then it's the last Pasuk is clear. Vayokem es haChotzer, Soviv, Lamishkan, Lasbech, Vayitin es masach shar haChotzer, Vayachal Moshe Samalacha. Can't be clearer than that. Clear Pesukim, without any midrashim. Okay. So everything had to be done through Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what you see clearly, that the Mishkan could not be set up through anybody else except through Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. So he was unable to do it by himself, physically, so it was a nace, it was Hukam HaMishkan. It appeared as if he was doing it, but he really wasn't, he didn't have the physical strength to do it. Okay. Then you have, at the end of the parsha, so of course the question is, why was necessary Moshe Rabbeinu to do it? Okay. But then you have at the end of the parasha, it says, Vayachas Ha'onon, after, right after that pasuk, where it says that Moshe Rabbeinu finished the melacha, Vayachas Ha'onon Es'ol Moed, Vayachas Ha'onon Es'ol Moed, Uchavod Hashem Molei Es HaMishkan. Alright? They have these strange psukim. I mean, they're like five psukim in the end of Shemos. Then the next pasuk says, okay, that's all right. Vechasan Hashem lechor Hashem molei es hamishkan, fine. But then it says the next pasuk, v'lo yochol Moshe lovo al ha'moed. Moshe Rabbeinu could not go into ha'moed, ki shachan al ha'vanon, v'chvod Hashem molei es hamishkan. So he was unable to go inside. I mean, so what's the tachlis over here? I mean, well, what is the pasuk telling us? He's unable to go inside. So what's the purpose of the Mishkan? All right, and you know what the next parsha of Yikra Moshe Vayedav Hashem I love El Meol Moed Lemar. So Vayishma Sakol Midaber Alav Mibein Shnei Akruvim. That was the whole purpose. So what's Vlo Yochol Moshe Love Alav Moed Kishachan Love Ana? Okay. So Rashi already mentions that Chazal stopped on this pasuk. So Rashi says, "V'kosav echad omer ubavol Moshe el ol moed." So pasuk says that when Moshe went into ol moed, so what is the pasuk saying? "V'lo yochal Moshe lov ol moed." So it's shnei ksuvim amakrishim zu azu amakrishim azeh. So it says, "Bo hakosav ashlishi v'chriya beinehem." Why? Because the pasuk says ki shochan olav ha'onan. So you see, when it says bar kosva shlishi, it doesn't really mean another pasuk. It's exactly the same pasuk as the first pasuk. It means the concept of the pasuk. Bar kosva shlishi v'yachriya benim ki shochan olav ha'onan. Emor me'ato calls man shahoya olav ha'onan lo haya yochal lova. As long as the honor was there, so he was unable to go into the into Omar. Nistalek Anon, but when the honor was removed, so nichnasu medaberima. Okay, so that's what Chazal say. So I mean, what's the Asik? I mean, what's the pasuk telling us here? I mean, what's the idea? I mean, what's the importance of this? The honor was down. The honor was up. I mean, plain shot. I mean, the Ibn Ezra learns very nicely. He learns that the next sefer Vayikra. It says, how does it start off? Vayikra Moshe, Vayadavar Hashem Elov, Me'oil Moed Lemar. Where's the starting from? So the Ibn Ezra learns plain shot. And Rabban, one of Rabban's shot most of it. It's a continuation of this pasuk actually. V'lo yochol Moshe lov olo moe ki shochan olav ha'onon. Then Vayikra Moshe Vayedaber Hashem Elov Me'ol Moed Lemar. In other words, he couldn't go inside, but it required kriya from Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the pasuk saying. He could not go in, but then Vayikra Moshe Vayedaber Hashem. Then he was able to go in. That's the way the Ibn Ezra learned. So it's a direct continuation from this pasuk. And the Ramban, one of Ramban's pshatim, he says it's a plain pshat also. Of course, that would be fine if that were the last pasuk in Shemos, but it's not so simple. It's not so simple either. Why? Because the last two pesukim in Shemos is three pesukim. I'm sorry. Uvehayolo saonan me'alam mishkan yisub nei shobu chamasayim. Sheikh is after it. Vim lo yeolonan v'lo yisub yom heyoloso. All right. Then it says, "Ki anan ad Hashem al Mishkan yomom ve'esh tiyalayla bo le'enichol b'yisro b'chol ma'aseyam." Fine. what are these three pesukim doing over here? I mean, according to Ben Ezra, according to Ramban, they shouldn't be here. I mean, it should be right after the Layocha Moshe lo v'lo moed v'yikra Moshe v'yidav Hashem elov me'ol lemon. Ramban says that's the plain shot in the pasuk. Chazal learn al pi derech drasha that kosev echad amav le'ol Moshe lovo kosev echad amav b'vam Moshe so. But in the plain shot, these lists psukim don't belong here. I mean, what is okay? So we want to understand basically the plain shot and what is the importance of the chazal? The honor was down, the honor was up. It's down, he couldn't go in. When it was up, he could go in. What is the psukim teaching us over here? So the Ramban explains, according to Chazal, it means like this. It means that there were basically three possibilities. One, the Anan was all the way down, covered the Ohel Moed. That's one position. Then he couldn't go in. Then when it was raised up, but it was stationary, then he could go in. Then when it moved, that's the third possibility. The Ramban explains that question. Okay. But what we want to understand is, what is the whole Lasik over here with the unknown and with these psukim? What are they teaching us? And also the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that had to construct the Mishkan. I think that over here, really the Torah is teaching us a yesod. And the yesod over here, I say yesod, I mean literally yesod, because I think it has to do with one of the yesodos, the yigimel ikar, one of the ikar, okay. And I think if we understand this area over here, we'll understand this ikar also, which always was puzzling, always difficult, because the Rambam introduced into the ikar. So the Rambam introduced a yesod ashvi. So the seventh ikar, the Rambam says, seventh ikar is nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom. Okay, now one of the 13 principles of Yadus, the seventh one, deals with the yesod of Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, had the Rambam stopped over there, all right, it would have been difficult, but you'd be able to work it out somehow. That Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu is one of the yesodos. I mean. Because truth of the matter is that the Yesod HaShishi is Nevuah. So you're not Nevuah. Oh, it's a Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu is different. Why is that a Yesod? Okay, it's a Kasha. But the Kasha becomes worse, becomes more difficult, because the Rambam elaborates over here. What does it mean, Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom? What does it mean? So he says, V'hu shenamin ki hu avihim shel kol hanavim. Asher hoyu malafana v'asher kumu me'achrov. Kulam heim tachtov b'mayla. That they're all beneath Moshe Rabbeinu. All the other Nevi'im. V'hu oyo ha'nivchar mikol min ha'odam. He was the choicest, the most select, of all the species of man. Asher hisig mi yidiyoso yisbarach, yoser mikol ma shehisig o yasig shum odam. Okay, more than any human being that there ever was or there ever will be, that he had the highest level of Yedias Hashem. V'chihu olav ha'shalom higia hesaluso min ha'anushus ad ha'mailo ha'malachusis. In other words, he reached to the mailo of a malach, v'nichla b'malach ha'malachim lo nisha mesech shelo koro. There was not a veil that he didn't tear. The nichnas mimenu, v'lo mono monea gufoni, and there was no physical characteristic trait prevented him. V'lo nesarvo shum chesaron, he didn't have any defect. Bein rav lemat, v'nizbatlu mimenu akochos ademyonos v'achushios v'asagosov. The nivdal kocha misora mishtokik v'nisha seichel bovad. So Moshe Rabbeinu remained like he says in his Hakdamah to Pirshei Mishnayos, a seichel nifrad, just an abstract intelligence. Va'al ho'inyin hazen nema olov shoyim edaber mashem yizbarach below emtsoyos min amalachim. He didn't need any intervening medium to relate to God. Okay. So then he says, "Ritzoni hoyi lavaris ha'inyan aniflav leftoch amalam across the Torah lefarish nami." But he says he sees it's too difficult, so he just basically he goes through the difference between. He says he will write it in the sefer that he was going to write. I think it was a sefer that he never did write, but he wrote the Mordechai Bucham Steph. I'm not saying, but anyways, right. But at any rate, he says, right. Yeah, that was when before he decided to write the Mordechai. So he was going to write, about Nevuah, a special sefer about Nevuah. Okay, at any rate. But now he says, so then he goes to Yisrael Ashvi and explains the difference, the four differences in Moshe Rabbeinu between the Yod and the Vayam. Okay, but you see the way he elaborates, that it's a Yisod to know that Moshe Rabbeinu had was completely qualitatively differentiated, basically. That's what he's saying. He's qualitatively differentiated from any other human being, and his Nevuah was qualitatively differentiated, and this is Yisod Bedas. Of course, everybody has to question, why is this Yisod? It's very nice, true, you know. Fine, but why is it Yisod Bedas? And what if somebody makes a mistake about that? So a person makes a mistake about one of the Yisodos. So according to the Rambam, a person makes a mistake one of the Yisodos, I mean, he has no chelek in Olam Haba. It's a very serious matter. That knowledge is the most important knowledge, and I mentioned this when I was in Eretz Yisrael, that you see that the Rambam writes that he gives in the beginning, he starts with what Olam Haba is, and he gives the various opinions. So the Rambam explains, you know, he gives some of the opinions, and one of the opinions is that Gehenna is a place of fire, and Gan Eden is a place where there's good physical enjoyments. So my question was, do people believe like the opinions that were rejected by the Rambam? So everybody will say no, because actually one half, many people do believe. The part that Gehenna is a physical pain, that people accepted. But the fact that Gan Eden is physical pleasure, that they rejected. And they rejected that because in our society, physical pleasure is frowned upon. So, but the question is, did they really make a true correction? And the answer is no. You can prove they didn't make a true correction. Why? Because the whole essence of the Rambam, really, the whole point that he tries to make with regard to Olam Haba is that Olam Haba is not something that can be perceived intuitively, but it requires great chachma in order to understand it. And what the Rambam said, basically, see, when people see a chacham comes out against a certain position, so they don't want to be in that position. So what they do is they change the accidental features of the position. They say, that's not me. You see? And that's basically what the society did. They made a few changes here and there. That's not the cut the Rambam's talking about. We're fine. But the truth of the matter is that they didn't look into the Rambam carefully, because if they did, they would see the Rambam is not so concerned about the particular form. He has the five different forms, but the main five different forms he rejects, but the main underlying idea in these five forms is that people think, I mean, have a mistaken notion that Olam Haba is something that you can arrive at intuitively. There's nothing to look into, you don't have to understand it, that's it. We know what it is, we feel it, we sense it, that's it. That's really what the Rambam comes out against. And the same thing, he says the exact same thing with regard to the Yesodos, to the Yudgimli Kar. And the Rambam says in the end, in the Yesod Shalosh Shalosh Asar, the Rambam says, "Vinei arachti b'dvarim harbe v'yotzasi minyan chiburi." I went away from the area that I was discussing. Why? He said, "Ani asiza l'fisha risi bo to'elas b'amuna l'fisha safti bo dvarim mo'ilim fuzarim misfarim gedolim." I took together from all different svarim, I took important concepts. L'chein da'os from. Therefore, he says, "Know them." V'hatzlach bohem, v'chozer aleim po'omim rabos. His bonein bohem is boninus yofeh. Okay, you see the Rambam emphasizes. V'im yishiyacho libcho v'tachsho shehigilacho in yono mipam achas omei asora. If you think by learning it once or 10 times you understand it, harei Hashem yizbarach yodeah sheyishiyacho al sheker. So God knows that your heart fooled you, and it's a lie, and you don't really understand the Ikarim. So what is Rambam's emphasis? What's the emphasis of Rambam and the Ikarim is that these ikarim are something which requires bonenus yafeh. Okay? V'lochein lo temaher b'kriyaso. K'ani lo chibartik fi mashin is damenli. He keeps going, v'achar iyan godel viz bonenus. Okay? So, v'achar shir isi deis bruros amitios, vizulosi amitios, v'yadati mashu roi lehamin bohem ehem. V'yvesi raya b'tainis rayas. He keeps going on. Okay. So the Rambam, I mean, so the Rambam, the whole emphasis of the Rambam is that these areas cannot be known intuitively. But that's something which our society, however, has never listened to the Rambam, basically. You won't find in the firm society that people have accepted the Rambam's opinion. They maintain that somehow or other, you could know automatically, a kind of amunah pshuta, like, so you just understand, you just know it intuitively, and that's enough. The Rambam was not of that opinion. The Rambam maintained that if you think that way, you have no concept of it. You really don't understand the Ikarim. And a person who doesn't understand, doesn't have knowledge of the Ikarim, is in extreme danger, as Rambam points out later, because when the Mishnah says, Shlosha Malachim Varbo Hedyotos, the very next Mishnah, Ein Lam Chelek Lalam Abba. So the Rambam says an interesting thing. He says, what does it mean, what does the Mishnah care? I mean, it's not a Lacha. What do you care about these three Malachim, the four Hedyotos? Who cares about them? So the Rambam says like this, Ulam Zohar Eile Legodel Ma'alasam B'Chachma. Says he mentioned these people, these seven people, because they're so tremendous, very great in Chachma. They're extremely great in terms of knowledge. Rambam says great in knowledge. You understand what that means. V'shema Yachshav Achoshev. Maybe some will think, Ki L'rov Chachmasam, because they had so much Chachma, U'zechus HaTorah, Shehoyu Yodim Oso Yediyah Gedolah, because they had tremendous Yediyah HaTorah, these Malachim, you might think, Yesh Lam Chelek, that they have a Chelek Me'olam Haba, L'chein Hodiyonu, She'yesodehu Amunah Neskalkalu Eitzel HaNeskarim, that the Yesodehu Amunah they were lacking in. He says, V'nestapku B'Ktsasom, had Sfekis about some of them. He says, U'lefichoch Nidchu Me'chai Olam Haba. It's amazing, Rama. So see, the Rama maintains that if a person makes a mistake in one of the Yesodos, I mean, or even his great chokhmah, and even his chosatar, can't say. Because knowledge is built like a pyramid. I mean, knowledge is built it has to be built on a wide base. And if the base is not good, so then the whole structure collapses. That's the Yesod. If a person is on the wrong track in terms of the Yesodos, then knowledge can't help him because the knowledge is being misdirected. It's defective. Every defect in the Yesodos is going to be a defect in the knowledge. And all knowledge collapses. That's Ram. That's Shitz Ram. Okay, the world does not accept the Shitz Ram. You won't find in the in our society that anybody really thinks it's so extremely important to have a knowledge and understanding of the Chazar over the Yesodos and keep on going over them. They rather think that somehow intuitively they know what Olam Haba is enough. You get Petch, and that's it. It'll be good, it'll be bad, that's it, it's enough. Yeah, there's no question that a person who, people ask the kasha of, what bothers people all the time is Tzadik Varola and Rasha V'Tovlo. Why does it bother them so much? The reason why it really bothers them is because, it's not because of the kasha. I mean, the kasha Sefer Iyov was written against the kasha, but the kasha that bothers most people is not the same kasha that was bothering Moshe Rabbeinu. He wrote the author of Sefer Iyov. The kasha that bothers most people is because the main thrust of the kasha is because they think that evil people are really having a good life. You see, that's why it bothers them, because they say, look, they're successful, they have a tithes, but the point is that actually, if a person were honest with himself, he said, then they're contradicting themselves. Why? Because if living the right way is the good, so that means if you live the good, you have the better life. Correct? So if a person, for instance, is poor and he's living according to Torah, so he's envious of a wealthy person that's not living according to Torah, it should be just the opposite. What he should say is that person is suffering, because he doesn't have the good, but I have the good, so I'm much more fortunate. So why should we be jealous of him? If you believe that it's really the good, so then you have the better life. But the answer is most people don't believe it's really the better life. They're waiting for some kind of reward in return for all their efforts. So they're saying, look at him. He's not putting in any effort, and he's getting a tremendous return, and I'm killing myself, I'm not getting a return. That's because they don't really believe what the good is. You understand? The good is really good. They believe good, not that this is really good, but somehow or other God will give me something for all my suffering. But the good really is suffering, according to them. So that's a contradiction. So therefore, no one really does evil intentionally. If a person does evil intentionally, he lacks knowledge. Why? Because if he did in fact know that it is evil, so then it's harmful. So how could a person really, really harm himself? It's an impossibility. A person can't do something that's harmful to the self. That's a natural natural thing in man, that man does things, acts in a way to preserve himself, not to make it worse himself. Okay? So therefore, you understand? So therefore, a person who does evil intentionally has a mistaken idea, a definite error in his mind concerning the good. Okay? A person who does it unintentionally does not have simply doesn't know. He doesn't know. But he doesn't have a definite position that's wrong. He just doesn't know what's right. That's why a person that does evil intentionally is worse than a person that does evil unintentionally. You understand? Because he has a definite mistaken idea, whereas the other person is confused. So a person who's further away from the truth? A person who has a definitely wrong idea, or a person who's confused? A person who has an idea that's definitely wrong. He's further removed from the truth. You have a person who has the truth, a person that's confused, and a person that's definitely wrong. So a person that does evil intentionally has less yadiyah, has less yadiyah, you see, than answers the original kasha. Because the original kasha was that a person that who's worse, a person that does evil intentionally or unintentionally, you want to say the person that does evil intentionally really should be better, because, like the example from the dentist. See, the dentist is a different concept, because the dentist is out, the one who destroys the teeth intentionally is really a better dentist, because he has more knowledge of teeth. That because that's, you're limiting it to the area of dentistry. You follow? But over here, you cannot do that, because over here, that which is, if a person knows what evil is, you see, he can never do it. So it means you must have a mistaken notion, mistaken idea. So that answers your question. The answer to your question is that a person, when the Rambam says that these three malachim and four adyotos, that they lost the chelk nolam haba, there's no question. What he means is because they had definitely wrong notions. Even though it's interesting, he says v'nistapku b'ktsasam. I'd like to see the other translation. What it means exactly, but it's a different kind of sveikus. It doesn't mean they didn't know what they were doing. It means they had the sveikus that were a different kind of sveikus. It means there's two types of sveikus. A person is just confused, is not really a suffix. A suffix means he has it formulated precisely, and therefore he really doesn't, exactly, he's lacking the knowledge. So there's no question, because the Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael Yishlem Chelek L'Olam Abba. So it's impossible to say that every Yisrael is a great philosopher and understands the Karm like the Rambam says. You read him over one time or 10 times or many times, and his bone is Yofa. I mean, most people are not going to get to that level. So you have to say everybody has a Chelek L'Olam Abba, even though they don't really, as long as they don't have beliefs or are not following ideas that are diametrically opposed, that are actually incorrect in terms of the Yesodos. I mean, but you find that too. It's not that hard to find either. I mean, unfortunately, there are people that do not have even the plain Yesodos correctly. They never bother to look at them. I mean, those people, according to Ram, have no chokhmah l'mabah. I mean, there's no question about that. But a person has a basic idea, even though he doesn't have the idea that Ram's talking about, still has to have a chel gnolam abba. So it means like he's like confused. He doesn't really, he can't really take him too far, because he's going to get confused. But at least he knows the basics on the surface. Superficially, that's enough. His energy is not directed in wrong channels. But of course, what the Rambam means by Kol Yisrael Yishlem, why the Rambam explains it is, because the point is, if you read, that's why the Rambam explains what Olam Haba is before. It's an interesting thing. Before he gives the Yesodos, he explains what Olam Haba is. That's like an introduction. Why? Because Rambam wants to make one point. He's in a hidden way, as he usually does, he's making one point. The point is this. He doesn't want to say it openly. But the point is that when it says Chelek Olam Haba, this is subject to vast variation of degree. Very big difference. I mean, a very big difference between a person that just has a chelek nolam haba. Yeah, I mean, if you want to be, most people that read the Mishnah say, fine, that's good, I have a chelek nolam haba, I don't have to worry about it. But what the Rambam explains is, when you see what the way the Rambam explains olam haba, it comes out of saying a doma, basically. Just to have a chelek nolam haba and to be a person that's a mizbonim that understands is kachok mizbon marav. It means like two different worlds. So only a fool would say that, you have a chelek, I'm guaranteed a chelek. I mean, that's, the Rambam actually discusses this kind of an approach, this kind of an idea, Yeah, that's the idea of the masses, basically. You know, you just want to secure a place over there, and it's based upon the concept of chilaf. In other words, that I worked hard, I'm going to get paid back. So that's why it's a prerequisite to the Karam, is really his concept of Olam Haba. Once you learn what Olam Haba, then you see that it's not such a pashut, and the person that doesn't have the knowledge is really far removed from the chelak of an individual that really understands the Yesoda. So it's a different thing altogether. It's qualitatively differentiated. That's really what the Marsha says pshat, and the Ram would say the same pshat, no doubt. About Rebbe, when Rebbe saw that somebody was did tshuva the last minute before he died, Bacha Rebbe Vamar, he cried and he said, Yesh kon olam v'shachas. So most of the people learn that's a wonderful thing. So what was he crying for? But the answer is Mashua says pshat, and that's no doubt that's the true pshat. Why did he cry? Because he saw that this person, if he would have done that 30, 40 years before, Yesh kon olam v'shachas is a tragedy. Because it means that what kind of knowledge does he have? I mean, it's very nice. He's a Yeshua Chayom Abba, but if he would have done that 30, 40 years before, it would have been a different kind of a chelik. It's unfortunate that the person had to wait till the last minute in his life to recognize the truth. So he has a Chayom Abba. But it's what kind of a chelik is that? I mean, it's not going to be a chelik like a guy that's like a person that's that's a lamed, that's a Talmud Chacham. It's not going to be like that. In 1 minute, you can't get the that same kind of chelik. It's not a magical kind of thing, but it's true. Anyone that approaches the truth in any way has a chelik. So he has a chelik, but it's not an azvei. I mean, such a chelik. Yeah, that is true. For certain people, it would be better if they wouldn't study Yesodos. As a matter of fact, I mean, I saw things that are being written today. There's no doubt they fall into that category. 100%. They're better off staying away because they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand it, and they distort the Yesodos. I mean, now it's unfortunate. You have to, nowadays, the tragedy of the fact that we lost Gedolei Yisrael. One of the aspects of the tragedy is that there's no one anymore that has the position and the power to be a Shomer Ador, really, to come out against the things that people say that are real Epicurus, and that they never would say were these Gedolim alive. But today, that we don't really have the absence of these Gedolim, so everybody's free to say everything they want, and they say Kfira, and there's no one can say anything. That's it. And all kinds of things are being written today. It's an unbelievable thing. We're in a tremendously dangerous situation. Very dangerous situation here. Utilization of the rational faculty is not Torah's idea of perfection. That's why I always say the translations of the Mora are all very bad. Because the terms in English, the translation in English, is not what the word means in the Rambam. And that alone can throw a person off. Intellectual perfection. The word intellectual is not the proper word. Intellectual perfection, a person thinks of a mathematical genius. That has nothing to do with what the Rambam means by intellectual perfection. Okay, Now, the use of the intellect does not guarantee anything. Because, I mean, the Nazis use their intellect too. So, use of the intellect is not perfection. What? Okay, yeah, so the Gemara says the opposite way. Echad amabra v'echad amamit. If a person learns properly, so the quantity, because when the Chazal asked Rabbi Yechon before he was going to pass away, why do you feel so bad? Say, you didn't learn enough Torah? Because they knew. What did Tom Chachman think? I should have learned more. So they said, look, that's the, echad amabra v'echad amamit. I mean, every year learning was all... Was all done with Shema, so that's the way it is. I mean, everybody has regrets. They could have done more, but that's not a reason to cry after. That's it. Yeah. All right, so the question, getting back to the question. The question that we're getting back to is, why is this the Yesod HaShvi'i? That's the question. What is so important? I mean, and the Rambam doesn't just say it's the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu that's the Yesod, but what does he say? It seems to be the person, the level of the person of Moshe Rabbeinu is the Yisod. The level that such a person existed, and that I know these descriptions of him that the Rambam gives. I must know those descriptions. That's part of the Yisod. And I must recognize this fact. If I don't recognize this fact, I'm missing one of the Yisod Yadus. I mean, why? And many people raise the question, what does that have to do with the Yisod HaDas? There are a lot of things I have to know in Torah, more than you give more things in Torah. So what's the difference if I don't know this? Why is that a yesod? Okay, yeah. In other words, he's saying the reason why this is yesod is because if Moshe Rabbeinu is not on that level, so then maybe there's some error in the is a higher level. Yeah, but the yesod hashmini is that the Torah we have is exactly the way Moshe Rabbeinu received it. So that takes care of that. So you don't need yesod hashmini. All you have to say is that the Torah that we have is perfect. Me'esa borei, that's yesod hashmini. So you don't need yesod hashmini. What do I have to know about Moshe Rabbeinu? And that's the difficulty. The yesod hashmini says that everything we have is precisely me'esa borei can see rasa misinai. So that's all you have to know, that everything in the Torah is perfect. From Avinu, I say, I have nobody. You can tell me you have to know about the individuals who are responsible. Okay, so I have to know about Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. That also should be yesod. No yesod like that. Okay. So what you want to propose is that what? Is that if, you're saying that if Moshe Rabbeinu were not qualitatively differentiated from other Nevi'im, then I would say there would be no Torah? So what is it? Then the Rambam should say, the yesod should be that the nevuah of the Torah is qualitatively differentiated. Not nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu, over the nevuah of the Torah is qualitatively differentiated. So what is why does he mention that? So that's what he should mention in the yesod hashvi. He's saying the yesod hashvi that the yesod is that if it were not for Moshe Rabbeinu, he doesn't say that. He said, no. It should be incorporated. Basically, so then it should be incorporated in Yesod HaShmini, that the Torah is MS, and that it's completely qualitatively differentiated than any other Nevuah, and that's it. What do I have to know about Moshe Rabbeinu being such a perfected person? I mean, why is that a separate Yesod? It's not a separate Yesod, then it should be part of Yesod HaShmini. It's Torah. It's revolutionary, I understand. There's a lot of revolutionary, but the point is, it should all be incorporated in one. You're concerned about one thing. Why is this person an important thing?
Because
the Rambam seems to say that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Kamohu, that itself is a Yesod. That itself is not a Yesod. You're telling me it's only a vehicle, a means for Torah. So that should be subsumed under Yesod Hashmini. It's not a separate Yesod. Why is it a separate Yesod? You understand? It shouldn't be a separate Yesod. I mean, for instance, Yesod HaNevuah, I can understand. It's a separate thing. It has nothing to do with Torah. It's simply a Kadosh Baruch Hu min Nabeis b'nei Adam. It means to say that we have to know, a person has to know. That's an intrinsic idea, a very important idea to know. It has to do with the whole Mahus of Adam. That means that Adam has a special access to a special knowledge. It defines what Adam is. That's a Yesod. I mean, I understand that. But Torah is another Yesod. But if you're going to tell me that the reason I have to know about Moshe is because of a means in order to understand that the Torah is different, so then it should all be subsumed under the Yesod HaShmini. Torah is different. Why? You'll give me reasons why. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is fine. But it's still one Yesod. It's not two Yesodos. The truth of the matter is that, I don't see why that should be Yesod anyways, frankly. All I need to know is that the Torah is Emes and Minas Shemayim exactly as God gave it. I do not have to know why that's so, and that has to do with Moshe Rabbeinu why is it important? I mean, it's a truth. Fine. It's an important idea. There are a lot of important ideas. But why is that the why? Why should that be one of the Yesodei HaDos? I mean, how's it going to affect my Dos in any way? It doesn't affect my Dos. So I don't know that, so. And it's pretty hard to say that Avraham Avinu had to know there's going to be a Moshe Rabbeinu, and otherwise one of the Yesodei HaDos was lacking? I mean, this doesn't make any sense. As a matter of fact, by the way, the Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam gives a fantastic interpretation of Chazal. It says that he kept all the mitzvahs, even the Erev Tavshil, Erev Chatzeres, right? It's a phenomenal Chazal. What does Chazal mean? It sounds crazy. I mean, takanas were made by Chazal for reasons later that happened historically, the different events that occurred. Chazal saw fit to make takanas. Avraham Avinu kept every drabbanon. The drabbanon Shlomo Melech made it. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, but every from person immediately grabs onto that Chazal because it makes sense in his nonsensical mind. But it sounds like he's very from. He kept everything. He can't imagine Avraham Avinu not washing his hands before he ate bread. Oh, that's impossible. It must be there. Rav Ben Rambam explains it. He says what it means is very simple. What Chazal meant to say is, all the mitzvahs at Torah and all the drabbanans were made for one reason, in order to perfect an individual. So he says, what it means is that Avraham Avinu had the perfection to the nth degree of every single mitzvah in the Torah, even every drabbanon. That's what he says. That's a pshat in the Chazal. Okay. Is it only a fool, the way Avraham and Rambam has an elaborate introduction, where it says only a fool, like his father, so like Rambam, only a fool takes the thing for a word, the literal meaning. I mean, Chazal spoke in Mishle, the beginning of Mishle. What does Shlomo HaMelech say? Divrei Chachomim v'chidosam. Chidosam. You can't be a nar and look at what the Chazal is saying, just to get us there. Yeah. I believe it's on Vayechi. I believe he says it in Vayechi. I'm not positive. What I'd like to do now is go on to another area. It's an interesting thing. See, there is one individual that the Navi singles out as being similar. I would say similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's Eliyahu Navi. Okay, Eliyahu Navi. Interesting thing. And so in the Navi, you find strange things about Eliyahu HaNavi. You find, for instance, certain things, of course, people get very excited about, because it attracts the mystical element in man, but the well-known departing of Eliyahu from his Talmud Elisha. Okay, so it says that before he left him, so it says Eliyahu Anavi appointed Elisha, and he says Vayicha Avram the Eliyahu. It's in Malachim Bay's base. Eliyahu Omar Elisha Shaal Moasalach Beter Malachach Meimach. What do you want me to do for you before I'm taken away from you? Vayomer Elisha Vihino Pishnayim Baruchachoy Lai. I want to be able to do twice as many mofsim, as many miracles as you did. Okay, so in general in the Torah, you don't find the Torah really shows the being doing miracles. In general. You don't find it. I mean, Shmuel HaNavi doesn't say anything about miracles. You don't find the Torah doesn't really have. All the Nevi'im, you don't find anything about miracles. The only exception is two. It's Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha. Okay? And Eliyahu HaNavi, you have eight. And Elisha, I mean, it's true, Yeshua, Amidas Hashem, Shmi Yeshua. I mean, that's an isolated incident. But I mean to say, in by way of doing miracles, you see, you only find really two Nevi'im, Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha. And the Navi makes a point of that. And the miracles are enumerated. Eliyahu HaNavi was eight, and Elisha said, I want to be able to have twice as much as you, and he did 16. And he was a Talmud. Of course, he didn't approach Eliyahu. Eliyahu was the highest. Eliyahu HaNavi, well, since Eliyahu HaNavi was really of the highest of the Nevi'im, besides Moshe Rabbeinu, qualitatively differentiated from Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's just sort of like parallel lines. It's very funny. Okay, we'll see. But anyways, so what did Eliyahu HaNavi say when he asked him for that? He wanted to have twice as many, the ability to do twice as many mosim. Vayom, he says, Hikshi Solashol. Yes, too much. Then he says, Imtira osi lukach me'itach yihilachachem v'mayin lo yiyah. Says, if you see me taken away from you, then you'll get it, and if not, you won't. That's all he could tell him. Okay, v'yikei, v'hiyei mahochem halach v'daber v'inei rechev eish v'susei eish v'yafridu ben shnehem v'yal Eliyahu basa'ora hashamayim. Okay, so Eliyahu went up. He went up in the storm, and in the rechev eish, okay, in the fiery chariot and the horses of fire, the Elisha roa, and Elisha did see v'hu mitzayik ovi rechev Yisrael ufarashav. Okay, and he cried v'lo ra'olod, never saw him again. V'yechazek b'vgoda v'yekroim l'shnayim karayim. So he did kriya. Okay, then it says v'yarm es aderes Eliyahu shenaflo me'olov. He picked up the aderes. And it says, Vayosha Vayamor Osfasa Yardain. Then he took the Aderes, and he was able to do the Nisim, and because he did see, like Eliyahu, you said he would be able to do. And then they started to search around. Then they asked him, they went over to Elisha, and they said, Hineno yeshes avodecho chamishim anoshim b'nechal yelchono vivakshlus adonecho. Pen neso ruach ad Hashem v'yashlicheo b'achad ahorim b'achad hageolos. V'yom alo sishlacho. It says, don't look around, fellow yo. And then it says, v'yiftzer ro ad bosh. They were very intent on doing this, very persistent. So he said, shlacho, all right. So I told you don't waste time, don't go. Okay, fine. So that's the end of the story with Eliyahu HaNavi. Strange story. And what happened? Where was he? Actually, no one knows. Various pshatim. I mean, I saw different pshatim. So he was put in Gan Eden, he was here, he was there, he's there, everywhere. I mean, it's funny, kind of. It's different pshatim, various pshatim. No one really explains. This is what the Navi says, and that's it. Okay, no one explains what happened. All right. So, I mean, what we like to do is like to try to understand the Navi. The first thing, of course, that we see, which is what deduction do you have to make from the psukim, is that he did not simply go up on a fiery chariot. Right? This you have to see right away. That it does not mean that he stepped onto a chariot and the fiery chariot and away he went. That this was a physical event. How do you know it wasn't a physical event? No. He saw him. Elisha saw him. Yes. Well, you bring it right from yourself. What did Eliyahu HaNavi say to him? He says, if you see, then you will get your request. If you don't see, you won't. Okay? So, of course, if it were a physical event, what do you mean, if there's no if you'll see, if you won't see? If he has eyes, he sees. All right? Right? Correct? So, obviously, you see that the Navi went out of his way to explain that this was not a physical event, that he stepped on a chariot and just went away. This was a Marian of awe. It means if you're zochet to see, if you're on that level that you can perceive this Marian Avuah, then your request will be granted. But if you're not on the level to see this Marian Avuah, you're not going to gain your request. That much I can tell you. Yes, the very difficult thing, he says, but this is my answer. What's the shakla? He has a right to ask. Eliyahu HaNavi said, no. Then he said, and if you'll see what happens to me, then you'll be able to. What's going on here? I mean, what is the Navi telling us? Okay? All right. Now, and then the Torah makes a whole, the Navi makes a whole big deal out of these few mofsim. I mean, the eight mofsim of Eliyahu and 16 of Elisha. I mean, that's it. But the Torah makes a whole thing out of this. What's the importance of this? Let's just go back a little bit. You see, it says I just want to show you that the way the Navi describes Eliyahu, and Eliyahu is certainly unique among the Nevi'im, the most unique among the Nevi'im, besides Moshe Rabbeinu, of course. I mean, for the other Nevi'im, Moshe Rabbeinu is no comparison to, but the other among the other Nevi'im, he is unique. But the Torah, the Navi says that by Eliyahu HaNavi, Melach HaMalach Yutes, it gives descriptions here that parallel Moshe Rabbeinu. It says Vayochal Vayesh. It says he wanted to die because he had to run away. He had to constantly run away from Zevel, from Achav. So he went under this tree and he was mispal that he should die. So because he's in constant danger, and this is something that we see. That the Navi, as great as he was, generally speaking, he wasn't given any special kind of protection. I mean, he was really, when a Navi did something, he mamash put his life in sakana. He did not have special protection, unless under certain rare circumstances he was afforded protection certain times, but most of the time it was at his own risk. So he was tired and he couldn't take the fear, constant living in constant fear. So Yishalas Nafsho Lamas wanted to die. So then it says that he fell asleep, and he says Vinezem Malach Nogeabo Vayomalo Kumachol Of course, go to Ramshit whenever it says Malach Mizmarivo. But anyways, Vayabait Himar Ashosov Ugas Ritzofim Vatsapachas Moyim Vayocha Vayesh Vayosha Vayishko. Vayesh Malach Hashem Shenis Vayigabo Vayomakumachol Ki Rav Mimcha Adorach. Vayokam Vayocha Vayishta Vayelech Bechoach Hoachilo Hahi Arboim Yom Varboim Lailo Adhar Holokim Chorev. It's Pasuk Malach Malach Yiteschas. So what is the so it says that he went for 40 days and 40 nights with this achila until he came where? To Chorev, Har Sinai. Okay, so the Radak points out very beautifully. He says that he says it's similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, but not quite the same. He says, "Vayelech b'choach o'achilo ha'hi lo ha'yozek k'neis Moshe Rabbeinu ki bo ne'mar b'oin yom v'borim lila lechem lo'ach l'mayim l'shasa." But it's v'lo omar she'amad b'choach o'achilo. But by Eliyahu, it makes clear that Moshe Rabbeinu was not achal v'shasa at all. It was different. But by Eliyahu, the achilo was changed. Kloma shenishtaha machol. The machol was somehow or other was delayed. The process of digestion was changed so that he was able to survive for 40 days. But it's different than Moshe Rabbeinu. Not quite the same, but then again, I mean, there's certain similarities. Okay. Then it says, then the pasuk says that Vayova Shom Alam Ora Vayolen Shom Vined Vashem Elov Vayom Alam Malacha Fol Yo. So then he says, the famous answer, Kano kinesi l'Hashem l'kei tzvokos, ki ozvu v'rischo b'nei Yisrael, es mizbechosecho arosu v'es neviyecho hogo v'chor, v'yvoser ani levadi v'yivakshu es nafshi l'kachta. So he complained about the situation. Klal Yisrael was terrible at the time, very bad at that time. So it says, v'yom etzev amal tov ahol lefnei Hashem, hinei Hashem over v'ruach gedolo v'chozok meforei kor m'shaber sloim lefnei Hashem. Then it says, "Vayhi kishmo Eliyahu vayolat ponov ba'adarto vayetze." So, of course, the Mefarshim say it says that this is again similar to the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because there's a month of Olaf Hashem v'Nei Hashem over. It says just like Vayavar Hashem al ponov vayikra, and then it says vayolat ponov ba'adarto. Similar also by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says Vayasta Moshe Panav. Okay, Vayasta Moshe Panav. Okay, so you see that there are similarities between Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Navi's pointing out. Between Moshe Rabbeinu and between Eliyahu Navi, but differences as well. Okay, yeah. But what I want to say is like this: that what are the difference? Of course, I mean that's one of the yisodos that Moshe Rabbeinu. No one's like Moshe Rabbeinu. Even Eliyahu Navi is not in the machitza of Moshe Rabbeinu. But in what way is he similar? Yeah. So what I want to say is like this: and what does that have to do with the nisim? With the nisim, what's this whole thing with the nisim? With the 8 nisim, 16 nisim? Can I get them? Can you get what is the whole shakla v'taya between Elisha and between Eliyahu? So, you see, the reason why Eliyahu HaNavi, generally speaking, Yadus does not like to influence the Nisim. Nisim is not a good vehicle. Is not a very good vehicle of influence, because Yadus tries to influence through Chachma and through Yediyah. That's why that Maimer HaSinai is great as it was, but the others were before Maimer HaSinai, they were fine. Okay, there's no. And with Maimon HaSinai, in a few days, like the Rav mentioned, in a few days already they were turning. So then Moshe Rabbeinu had to institute what? A takon of Talmud Torah. So the only thing that really reaches a person is Talmud Torah. This miracles are not. Kol Godel V'lo Yosef means that's it. One time Maimon HaSinai, no more. It's not the derech of Torah to influence through miracles. Torah does not like to use it as a vehicle. But in the time of Eliyahu HaNavi, it was a time where Klal Yisrael was at a very, very low ebb, and they all turned to the Baalim. They all turned to the Avodah Zarah. It was rampant. And Eliyahu HaNavi knew that the only way to save them was, unfortunately, was through the performance of miracles. You have missing. And that was Eliyahu HaKamo. Eliyahu HaKamo. Okay, Eliyahu HaNavi HaKamo. So, what's that? Well, I'd say at that time, I mean, it did save them at that time. I mean, did save them at that time. It did have an effect. Can't say it had an effect. But the, okay. But at any rate, the person of Eliyahu, is mentioned as being similar. It's an interesting thing. Mentioned as being similar to Moshe Rabbeinu in a certain respect. What respect is it? So what I want to say is like this, that I'm not going to go into it too much. I just want to just give, sometimes it's better to just draw broad lines before you go into the details. But what I'd like to say is like this, that the danger with Nisim is the danger that the performer, you see, should become personally credited in some way with the nace, and that would be avodah zarah rather than isgalus hakadosh baruch hu. Okay, you see, that's the danger. Now, what I want to say is like this: that the danger of giving over nisim to an adam, to a person, that's precisely the danger. Because what happens is like this. What happens is that if the person is not on the purest, highest level, what does the highest level mean? The highest level means where all the energies of the individual are expended in Chochmas Hashem, perceiving Chochmas Hashem. But there's no energy expended in the ego of the individual, you see. And that's something which is humanly almost impossible, okay? But what the Pasuk is saying, what the Pesukim are teaching us, is that there were two individuals that reached that level. Those two individuals were Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay? What it means is that not that Eliyahu HaNavi was the same as Moshe Rabbeinu, Chalila, that's the Yisod B'Das, he was qualitatively differentiated, Moshe Rabbeinu. But in terms of exploiting their potential, directing the energy totally towards the Mare Hanavua, perceiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Eliyahu HaNavi accomplished to the utmost degree possible. He was quantitatively unique among the Nevi'im. So Moshe Rabbeinu was qualitatively differentiated, Eliyahu HaNavi was quantitatively differentiated. That's why it was okay, it was a right to give over the nisim to Eliyahu, there was no danger. But if the person has powers, you see, and his ego senses the powers, then the followers will also attribute the nisim to the personality, to the individual. Okay? Now, Eliyahu HaNavi, there was no danger. Because of his level of perfection. That's really what the Mare Hanavua was, Bisa'ora HaShamayim. What does it mean, Bisa'ora HaShamayim? That means he just got on the chariot and went up to the Shamayim. What is the Mare Hanavua pointing to? What is it teaching you? What's the concept? What's the idea? It means basically he just like walked from one room to another room. That's it. It means there was no change in him. No change, that's what the Mare Hanavua said. There was no change in him from before the time he died till after the time he died. He would be like a person would get on a chariot and just go somewhere else. That's it. He just would go to another room. But there was no change because the physical, his guf, didn't affect his soul, didn't have any, he overcame all the imperfections of the, we spoke Friday, Zu Malach Mava, Zu Yetzirah, Zu Satan. Right? In other words, the instinctual part of his makeup did not affect his metaphysical essence. So therefore, there was no change. It was just like a person goes from one room to another. That's what the Maharal Nebuchadnezzar described. You see. Now, the thing was like this. You see, he was, because he was similar. He was similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. By the way, it's an interesting thing. when he was mispala, what was he mispala? Aneni Hashem Aneni Bahar Karmel. What did Chazal say? One Aneni. Why twice? What was the second Aneni? So Chazal say, Shelo Yomru Maisik Shofeno. What is it, Maisik Shofen? It doesn't mean magic. It means they shouldn't attribute it to me. So they shouldn't attribute it to me. Because then it would be a Tartig Asasri to this Galus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Maisik Shofen means he has powers. What is Maisik Shofen? Kishuf means that the person has some kind of power. Some kind of supernatural power. That was the second Aneni. One Aneni is it should occur. Second Aneni is... is what it was, that they shouldn't be attributed to him. That was his tefillah. Interestingly enough, too, that the Chazal say that his tefillah was similar to the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because what he said, ki ato hasibosu as liba macharanis. That's what he was mispalled by our Kamal. What did Chazal say? Chazal said an unbelievable thing. We one time mentioned this. He said, ki ato hasibosu as liba macharanis. So Chazal say that he says, and if you don't answer me, then I myself will become a kofar. That's what Chazal say means. Ki I will say ki atas ibosas lima macharanis. That's what he said. And Chazal say that's the same thing like Tfilas Moshe, because by Moshe Abenu, by Korach, he was also mispal. He said that in kemos kol adam yemusun ela. He says lo Hashem shlachani. So Chazal say that's exactly what he meant. The same thing. That I, Moshe Rabbeinu said, if it doesn't happen, I myself will be a kofer. That sounds crazy. He says Rashi brings down in Lamed Zayin, Yud Ches Lamed Zayin. Vata sibosas lima satala makom losu ma'acharechol biyotcho hoyo lochem lavov melechom. Medrash Agoda, im lo saneni afaniye ye kofer. Va'omer, ata sibosas lima, v'chein ama Moshe, in kemoskola imusun ayla, afani kofer va'omer lo Hashem shlachani ledaber as a Torah v'amitzvos. So what does that mean? You're going to be a kofer? So we explain what it means. It means to say that this had to take place. What Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach and Elyon HaKamel had to take place through tefillah. Through tefillah, the medium of tefillah was used in both cases. But it wasn't they had foreknowledge, simple, like a simpleton thing. So he knew he was going to go to HaKamel, this is going to happen. It was a simple thing. What it means was, he had Yediyas Hashem to the degree that the tefillah will be effective in this instance. That's a tremendous level of Yediyas Hashem. It means he had Yediyah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yediyah of Schav Onesh, and he knew that if he employs the medium of tefillah, that he will be answered. You see? And he said, and I put everything on the line. If not, then Kol HaTorah is nothing. It means that's how sure he was in his Yediyah. In his assessment of the situation, Yediyas Hashem, that it will occur. The same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu really didn't know. He didn't know. He only knew through his Yediyas Hashem that if he's mispal, that's what's going to happen to Korach. So he placed everything on line. He says, just like I know, just like my Chachma gives me knowledge of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I have knowledge of this thing, and I'm placing everything on line. In the Lav Ani Kachar also. That's what it means. That's what Chazal means. Amazing Chazal. So you see Eliyahu Navi, I mean, again, a parallel between Eliyahu Navi, I mean, in that respect, although you've mentioned Michaya too, but it means the level of Yediyas Hashem, tremendous level of Yediyas Hashem. But, however, the Yediyas Hashem is qualitatively differentiated between Eliyahu and Moshe Rabbeinu, but Eliyahu Navi's level among the Nevi'im is quantitatively differentiated. Okay? That was the Mara Hanavua Bisara Hashemayim. Now, what was the request of Elisha? You see? Elisha said like this. Why? It sounds like chutzpah. I want to have twice as much as you. What do you mean twice as much as you? He's a Talmud. He's an Hebrew Talmud of more than the Rebbe. So what's the answer? And the answer is yes. The answer. He real like exactly. See, a person influences in two ways. A person influences through his mahus. His essence, like the Rav said, just the mere fact that there was a Vilna Goyen was an influence for the entire world. Just his existence. That's the way a person, that's really, he mentioned Rav Chaim, the Reverend Rav Chaim. So Chaim gave two speeches all his life. but his ashpo was because of the knowledge of his existence, his mahus, his essence. So what Elisha said like this to Eliyahu, he said, in terms of my essence, he said, I'm much less than you. He says, but in order for me to take the job, the responsibility for Klal Yisrael, he says, I need twice as much in terms of the Nisim. And because he knew the level of Klal Yisrael. That was his request. So Eliyahu Navi answered and he said, Ekshisa Lishol. So that's a big request. Because you realize that an Odom, insofar as Nisim are given over to Odom, there's a tremendous danger that the Nase will be polluted, because what will happen is that the Odom will get involved. So he told him, he said, but I'll tell you this, if you can see the Mare Anavua, and if you understand what my perfection is in the Mare Anavua, that the individual is able to remove from the self all of his instinctual energy. If you can have that perception, he says, then you will be able to receive this request, because you will. It's true. He's not on the level. He's not on that level in terms of in the Rambam. The Rambam has two forms of tzaddikim. One is Osam Me'ava, and the other one is a Kovash Yisitzro. In this respect, Elisha would be able to, if he'd see the Mare, he'd be able to accomplish the removal of his personality from the Nisim through Kvishas Hayetzer, as long as he had the idea. But without the idea, he couldn't do it. So Navi said, he told him, he said, that if you'll be able to see this, so you'll have the idea, then with Kvishas Hayetzer, you'll be able to be Zocha to your request. But if you don't see it, he says, then you're not going to get it. That's as much as he was able to tell him. That was the dialogue between Eliyahu Navi and between Elisha. Okay, yes? There's another point there which really fits into this whole framework that we're discussing. And that is, you see, there's a very big inyun with that Deres Eliyahu. What's a Deres Eliyahu? Deres Eliyahu. So he says, he hid his face in the Deres. And then it says he took the Aderis and split the Yadim. What is the Aderis? The answer is very simple. What is the Aderis? Is the person's clothing. See, the clothing serves two functions. One function the clothing serves is to glorify man. It's the glorification of man. The other function really is to remove him from the guf, to cover the guf, to remove the part of man that's physical. That's tznius, when we spoke about tznius. That's the concept of begadim. See, Aderes Eliyahu represented Eliyahu. It meant his garments only served one function. It wasn't to improve his appearance, which is the egoistic part of man. It was simply to recover the guf, to show, to demonstrate that the guf is a destructive force, is an antagonistic force in man, and the Aderes covers it. That's the significance of the Aderes Eliyahu. Okay. Same concept, same idea. Yeah. You see that the Navi says that that's why, by the way, with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu Navi, there's again a unique phenomenon. What is the unique phenomenon? That death is not associated with them. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, he went up to the Har, Vayikbar Oso Bagai, Machlekes, whether he buried himself or God buried him, but Kvura was Velo Yoda Ishes Kvuraso. What does he mean, Kvuraso? He knew he was, he was buried from the mountain. No one ever saw the Kvura. The death was disassociated with Moshe Rabbeinu, because death, when you have a memorial, it means you're saying that a part of the person is gone, there's a change. Over here there was no change. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Sechel Nifrod, and therefore there was no change. And the same thing with Eliyahu, but a little different again, because quality has differentiated. Eliyahu's guf, where was Eliyahu's kvura? That's the big question. What happened to him? Just as he said, don't search for him, he's gone. Elisha knew that was it. You're never going to see Eliyahu then. Again, where was he really? Where was he? All these machlekes, and what does it show? it shows one thing, that no one was supposed to know what happened to him. That's it. No one was, that was the Ashgacha, that his death and his Kvura should be Nelam, Ne'ene Kol, because he was an individual. That's the Basar HaShamayim, it means to say, he wasn't an individual. You have to think of Elio as an individual that didn't change, never changed through death. And that's why you have the minig, which is based on the Chazal, because in the Nevi'im, in Malachi, it says, it talks about the Malach HaBris. Malachi talks about the Malach HaBris. What is the Malach HaBris? That's where the whole thing comes to Kisa Shel Yo, by the Bris. You see? So what does it mean? That's the Chazal, that Eliyahu is present at every bris. What does it mean? It means to say, what is bris? Bris is an enactment that creases bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, and Eliyahu Navi is the one that Misa did not affect him. The Sarah Shemayim, he's there. But you see, there's a difference. But let's see, why is he at the bris? And why does it say, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem, that's the end of the Nevi'im. Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem, that's Eliyahu Navi, Lifnei Yom HaShem HaGadol V'Nor. Yeah, why? Well, what's the difference really between Eliyahu and Moshe Rabbeinu? The difference is very simple. Moshe Rabbeinu forged the whole system. He was responsible for the whole system. Eliyahu Navi had a different responsibility, to bring them back to the system. You see, there's a difference. So to speak, the Chomer was created, so to speak, through Moshe Rabbeinu was actively involved in producing the entity, but Eliyahu Navi was not on that level. He wasn't on the level to make it real, to apply it in the application. You see, there's a parallel lines between Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why Hinei Anochi Shel Lachem Lifnei Bo Yom before the Gula. Because what is the Gula? The Gula is like a new Kabbalah Satara. It's like a Purim was King of the Kibbalah. But the ultimate Gula is a reflection of it. That's why Purim, the Sefer, will never be lost. Like the Rambam says, all the other Sefer Nevuah will not exist, but the Sefer of Esther will. Why? Because that's precisely Kimu v'Kiblu. That's the application of it. But not the construction. Not the construction was only possible through Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not only the application. That's the difference between Eliyahu and Navi, and that's why Navi by the bris, because the bris is a reenactment of Kreis's bris. So it's so Eliyahu and Navi's personality is the yes. You see, that's why they're parallel. They're parallel in the sense that Moshe Rabbeinu was the initiator. Eliyahu was the one that applied the application. That's why they're similar but different in terms of application. It's Eliyahu Navi. But in terms of the creation of the system, to be involved in the creation of the system, that only Moshe Rabbeinu, but nobody else. That's the difference. You see, the same thing, that the idea of our boim yom, our boim lilo, without eating, what does that mean? What does it mean, basically? What does that represent? What's the concept? I mean, the nace, most people are interested in the nace. What's the idea behind it? The idea is it means that he could go without all the satisfactions, the psychological, instinctual satisfactions that every human being needs constantly. That's what it means. But the difference was between Eliyahu and between Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a difference. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a qualitative differentiated phenomenon. He didn't have any shakas at all to the food. With Eliyahu, it was different. The food was there, but it was in a different way. That's the concept that's reflected. Moshe Rabbeinu was qualitatively differentiated, not like a human being. But with Eliyahu, it was quantitative differentiation. He needed, the food was there, but the effect was changed. You see, that's what the Navi's trying to teach you. That's the idea the Navi's trying to teach you. Okay. Now, one second. So now, what is the concept? What is the idea? What is the concept? The concept is that his Galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, This galus hakadosh baruch hu is a very tricky. Yadis recognize it as a very tricky and dangerous kind of thing, because as we mentioned before, because the galus is always in danger of becoming tainted. You see, becoming tainted through man, and you'll see basically that every false Mashiach, every false Mashiach left one impression on their followers. What was the impression they left? That it was them. Yes, that's correct. Everyone. And that is the simon. That is the simon, you see. That it was tainted. Because that effect was, the effect was precisely the danger that Klal Yisrael was always involved in, because of that, because this Galus Hashem is very tricky. See, that's why the Mishkan. See, the Mishkan was a big problem. Everything, the Mishkan, so simple, not so simple. Mishkan is a dangerous thing. What do Chazal say? That's why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, because the Shofach Hamas Aleitzim Alavonim. Because it's a dangerous thing. It means to say before that God only related to individuals. The person was on the level of Kadosh Baruch Hu related to. To relate to an entire group of people, that was a new phenomenon. That was something new. Mishkan Ha'edus. What does it mean? Because you're dealing with an object, and with a Hamon Am, and Hashrah Shechino becomes a very dangerous thing. So that's what says Mishkan Ha'edus. Ha'edus. You see, there's nothing. What does it mean, Edus? Edus is the closest term. I mean, even say it's close, but it's not even close to the idea of what the world perceives like a symbolic, but it's not symbolic, because Edus means a testimony. It means to say the object reflects an idea. That's what we have. We don't have any symbols. We have objects that reflect ideas. Mishkan or Edus. What is it? What does Rashi say Mishkan is? Edus Hili Yisrael Sheakadosh Baruch Hu Kipa Lahem Alavon Ego. Okay, that's what it means. What does it mean? Why is it Edus Hili Yisrael? Because what is the Avon Ego? The Avon Ego is the Avon Avodah Zarah. And in Avodah Zarah, you see, in Avodah Zarah, there's one tendency. The tendency is that the person tries to approach God in a way that's not permissible. You see. Now, what it means like this. What I want to get to is the last psukim. You see, what does it mean? It means what? What does the psukim mean? Moshe Rabbeinu finished the malacha. Vaychas onan esor moed chvod Hashem moleis hamishkan. V'lo yochel Moshe lavo el ohal moed ki shochan olav onan. What does the pasuk mean? It means to say that the Yizgalus HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be totally differentiated from any Adam, even Moshe Rabbeinu. And that was the godless, precisely the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu's involvement never diminished from the Yizgalus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it could take place side by side. There was never, because of the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yizgalus was not tainted. If there was a problem with the Yizgalus, the problem was from Klal Yisrael, not from Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? The pasuk means, that's what it means. V'lo yochel Moshe lovo lo moi ki shochan olav ha'anan. U'chavod ar Hashem moli es ha'mishkan. When chavod ar Hashem is in existence, no human being can partake of it, can have anything to do with it, cannot go near it. Okay? Then vayikra al Moshe, vayadaber Hashem elov me'ol moi lema. Yes, in order, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, functionally, for a functional purpose, in order to give the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu can walk into the Ohel Moed. But just to be there, to imply in any way that there is no complete separation, absolute separation, between Kavod Hashem and the involvement of Adam, is really tantamount to Avodah Zarah. That's what it means. You see? That's what it says. Mishkan. That's the Tatar Sansri. One pasuk, the other pasuk is lo yochel Moshe lavo lomoid. What's the answer? שני קסומים חיש הזה, שבע קסומים השלישי הכי ביניהם, כי שוכן עולב העונן, וכבוד על השם מולי עשן משכן. When it's shochan olav, when the shechina sa'onon and kvod al Hashem, no one can go near. And if anyone makes a mistake and thinks that a human being is involved, that's pure avodah zarah. That's pure avodah zarah. So that's what the pasuk. That's and this theme goes straight through. See, sefer Shemos is a sefer agula. Sefer agula, the Ramban says. It means sefer agula means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeems Klal Yisrael, but it's tricky. It's tricky because of the fact that one of the desires of the Avodah Zarah is to be close to God in a way that it is not supposed to be. That's why you see today you find the same thing where people say, they say the chelek elokam imal, according to a Kabbalistic phrase, and they say that we're a chelek of, that's Avodah Zarah. That's the danger. Where a person does not recognize his hacha, the richok. You see, straight through, what does the pasuk say by Mamad Asinai? Nei nochi boi lecha ba'av onan. Okay? And it says, the nigash Moshe el ha'rafel. And Ramban says, the ha'rafel, same thing as the onan. Nigash! But not besoch. Not besoch. Okay? It's a functional relationship. And what does the pasuk say? What does the kasher? Reid hoid ba'om pen yersu al Hashem liros v'naflu mimenu rav. What is this? What was that warning? The warning is to approach God. That's a danger, very big danger, because in the approach, you see, the approach is based upon a false idea that man somehow or other can be close to God in a way that is not true. It's not true. You see, that's one of the bottom line, one of the bases of Avodah Zarah. You see, the Torah points out in Sefer Shmos many times the double azhar by Mamad Har Sinai, double azhar. Then what does it say? Velatzile b'nei Yisrael lo shalach asiyah vayechezu esolakim vayochlo vayishnu. Again, it means to say that they were trying to get too close. And what happened after the Egel? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He took the oil, mechutz l'machaneh, harchek min ha'machaneh. You see, he took it away. They had no right to be close. So Hashro HaShchina is mechayev in a form of richuk. Richuk. That's basically the end of the Sefer Shmos. It's really the Torah in these few psukim is conveying the yesod de'ados, the yesod of Hashro HaShchina, of the Mishkan. That's why, by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one, the only one that can make the Mishkan. Why? Because of his level was so perfected that it wasn't attached to the Sasri, you see, to the Esgalus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the last three psukim, you see, it's interesting, the last three psukim, Ve'olo sa'onan me'ala mishkan yisu b'nei Yisrael b'chol ma'aseihem. What is that? Ve'mlo ye'olonan ve'lo yisu adyom he'oloso. Positive and negative. Why kiana Hashem la mishkan yom ve'ish tia laila bo le'enei kol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'aseihem. What is the pasuk saying? The pasuk is saying these few psukim summarize in concisely what are the two ideas that revolve around this galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechayev first of all in richuk, an extreme richuk, but simultaneously it's mechayev in kiruv, a certain kind of kiruv. That's what the pasuk says. So first it says, well, Yahweh Moshe tells you richuk. But then it says, Uveholo Sona Meala Mishkan Yisu Bene Sobahoma saying im lo yeolo lo yisu ad yom elo. So what does it mean? It means that Hashro Hashchino, his galus, is also a machayev in what? There's also a machayev in closeness. You can't go away. As long as the onam is there, you must stay there. Because his galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashro Hashchino, is machayev in involvement in Yediyas Hashem, and you can't be involved in Masos. You can't be involved in your personal life. See, that's the last puzzle. Kiana Hashem la Mishkan Yomam Veishti Alalava La'ene Kol Beis Yisrael B'chol Ma'aseihem. What does it mean? La'ene Kol Beis Yisrael. It means it's Galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Kiana Hashem la Mishkan Yomam Veishti Alalava. Because these few psukim summarize the end of Sefer Shmos. Summarize the whole concept, the underlying concept of the Sefer Agula, which means an interaction between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, summarizes all philosophy in the last few psukim. So that's why That's why the seventh yesod is the idea of the perfected level of Moshe Rabbeinu, because his galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu was through Moshe Rabbeinu. And if a person doesn't recognize the perfection of Moshe Rabbeinu and doesn't understand that he was the only one, then it means to say that his concept of his galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tainted. Okay? It's only because of the perfection of Moshe Rabbeinu that the isgalus was not tainted. You understand what I mean? That's why it's a yesod bedos, because it's a yesod in isgalus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if your idea of isgalus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not pure, so then you're missing the whole relationship to God. That's why it's a yesod in yesod yedos. Okay, stop it. Now, there's one last thing. If you notice, there's a similarity between the psukim in the end of Shemos and the psukim in the end of Dvarim. They're similar. You notice this one? It says Kiana Hashem le'enei kol beis Yisrael b'chol masehem. Okay, and the last pasuk in the Torah, l'chol ayerach hazak l'chol amar gadol asher osa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael. There is a similarity. I mean, I know I'm Bakur, it rings in my ears, but I think that there is a reason for it. What's the reason? The reason is because that yesod, which was what does the last psukim tell you? That only Moshe Rabbeinu. That's basically what it says. Then it says, "V'lo kom navi od b'Yisrael k'moshe asher yedol Hashem pon l'chol osos v'amofsim asher shlochar Hashem lasos beretz Mitzrayim l'faro l'chol avad l'chol atzo l'chol ayora chazok l'chol amor agod l'asher osa Moshe l'ainei kol Yisrael." What is the pasuk saying? It's talking about he was the only one that was fit on the level to be involved directly in the greatest isgalus that there ever was or there ever will be. That's what the pasuk saying. It's the same theme. See, it's the same theme as the Torah uses in the end of Sefer Shemos in establishing the Mishkan. The same concept. Moshe Rabbeinu had to set up the Mishkan and the Anon, and he didn't take away from Kavod Hashem. He couldn't go into the Anon. See, that's the same concept. With the same yesod that only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be involved in this galus Hashem on the highest level, and everybody, whether it learns a Ramban or Ramban, makes no difference. But same idea, that his galus Hashem, Al Yedei Moshe, was the greatest, because only he could be involved in such a level of his galus without creating any defect in the isgalus. See, that's the yesod. That's the yesod in Kalter. That's the seventh yesod in the Yigimli Torah. Okay. You'll notice an interesting, the Torah is made throughout, in an unfortunate way, the Torah is made throughout to this Yisod, because you never sense in reading the Torah that Klal Yisrael had somehow or other a fear of Moshe being like a magical figure that they prostrated themselves before. On the contrary. So why, that is the very proof that he never took away from his galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the right. Because if all the things that he did, under normal circumstances, people would attribute it to him, they'd be afraid of him. You see? But they weren't. Never. You don't see any indication. That shows you, that's what I think the Rambam means in the Mora, where he says certain people reach a level where they can perfect others. You see? What does he mean over there? Of course, anybody teaches somebody else, perfects it. And he means that they reach a different level, and through them they can be a vehicle of another person's perception of Yedias Hashem. You say, in an untainted way, that's a different level. That's a different level. Come is playing a role in it, then you're missing yourself. You see, that's what it means. It means if you do not understand the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, and you do not understand that the isgalus of Hashem, you know, is to know, to understand why the isgalus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not tainted, is ipso facto to understand why Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that was able to accomplish that. If you don't understand the love of Moshe Rabbeinu, if you don't understand the love of Moshe Rabbeinu, then you do not have the proper concept of the isgalus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's got to be wrong. The Ovos were before the whole thing. So in their framework, there's no problem. The problem is when you have a hisgalus, which is tainted, then you're off the yisod. But they were before the whole incident. You understand? Maybe I should mention that. Oh, okay, good, good, okay.